This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com, BlackStarLabs.com, and by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. FitCast episode number 63. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and with us this week we have an all-man edition of the FitCast. No Jen this week, but we do have the rest of the crew. First off, Jimmy Smith of JimmySmithTraining.com. What's up, Jimmy?
Nothing. How you guys doing? Glad to have everybody back on.
I'm doing good. I'm trying to make sure my speech impediment doesn't suck too much during the show. Next up is Tony Gentilcore of GentilcoreTraining.com. What's up, Tony?
What's going on, guys? And back from Vegas.
And he's alive. His plane didn't crash, which is good.
Oh, yeah.
And last but not least, the most favorite guest that's been requested to have back on the show, Keith Scott of KeithScottTraining.com. How's it going, Keith?
Good, guys. It's glad to be. I'm definitely glad to be back. It's been a long time, and you know, if this is still available and Jimmy hasn't totally taken over the show, I just, what's going on?
I think I speak for the rest of the crew and the audience when we say it's fantastic to have you back on the show and to have someone to keep Jimmy in line. So,
well, yeah,
oh, I'm trying.
Freaking Keith is like me. He's my boy on the show. Like, you go and you say Tony's not here, so you cry an episode. Jen's not here, you cry an episode. And I'm left by myself. Keith is on my side, man.
Okay. Fair enough. But like we mentioned before, Jen is not on the show, but I'm going to be channeling Jen for some of the discussions that we do have. She sent me an email beforehand. What? She sent me an email beforehand of some content that we can add to the show, so I'm going to mention her email stuff.
Yeah, when you're not on the show, you don't get talked about. Okay.
No, because the 3 weeks that I wasn't on, you guys were busting my chops for 3 straight weeks when I wasn't on it.
That's because you read Harry Potter.
And I'm off reading Harry Potter and, like, you know, whatever god else you guys made up about me.
Well, show up next time. I don't know. All right, let's jump into the FitCast topics quickly. First off, again, I want to mention our Facebook group. We had Jimmy join, and we have, like, Cassandra Forsyth and a bunch of the guests on there now, and a bunch of you, the listeners, have been joining. And keep adding your friends to the group, too, because the bigger the group gets, the better. And we've been having some discussions on the message board for that, and it's been good so far. I know Jimmy and Jen have been chiming in, so...
Tony just got on today, too, didn't he? Tony?
Yeah, actually, because when Kevin sent us the overview of the show today, I saw the other thing about Facebook news, so I've never been on the website, so I went on it today and signed up, and I looked through the message boards and stuff. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, it features our new logo with 5 names on it, which it only took me like 2 months to do that, but I got around to it finally. Next up, I want to remind everyone that we do still have the Fat Loss Pros promotion going on. So if you do order Fat Loss Pros through thefitcast.com, you get 3 free months of the FitCast Insider with such interviews as the ones that have been done with Jimmy Smith and Tony Gentilcore, just to name a few. So make sure to check those out. We have an interview with Jimmy Smith that's going to be going up mid this week, probably on Tuesday or Wednesday. So that's like premium. Fantastic.
It is premium.
So make sure to check that stuff out. We lost Keith. That's the second time we lost him while we're trying to do the show.
Keith just texted me right now, and he's just told me he's off, so get him back on.
Okay, so we're going to add Keith again, but I'm going to continue talking about our FitCast topics. Next up, I want to mention the anabolic diet quickly, because I've been talking with Jen a lot about this, because she's written an article in the past, but she's also writing another article that's coming up on Monday for Muscle with Attitude, I think it's called, the female version of T-Nation. And she's writing another article about anabolic diet, and we got into talking about it, and it's actually something that I'm going to try for the next couple months, And you know what? It's always great to try everything out. So I'm going to give it a shot. Basic logistics of it for people who don't know much about it is 30 grams of carbohydrates a day for the first 12 or 13 days. And then you do that for 5 days a week. And then you carb up on Saturday or Sunday. And you can change it up depending on how what your goals are for muscle gain or for fat loss. So should be interesting. I'm on day one pretty much today, so we'll see what happens. I don't know if Jimmy or Tony or Keith, if you want to chime in about that. I don't know if you've had any experience with those, the anabolic diet at all.
I read the book 2 years ago by Deep Pascal, and I mean, I like the premise. I mean, it's simple to the point, and it makes sense. I've never personally done it myself. I put a few clients on like a tweaked version of it, and they got pretty good results with it. So a lot of people are under the premise that the first, you know, 10-15 days are pure hell, and I really don't think it's that bad. People, they tend to blow a little bit out of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
You put, you know, you say no carbs for people and they have a hissy fit, and it's really not that bad.
Well, I've been doing fine today. I've been having trouble keeping my calories up today. Like, I still have to eat almost another 1,000 calories before I go to bed tonight, so I'm gonna have to figure that out. But that was just my bad. But is there anything else anyone wants to add to that? And actually, the book, you can actually get the ebook on eBay for $1.99. So if you're interested, just go on eBay. You can get it for $1.99. You can print it out at Staples for like $3, and they'll put it in a binder for you and everything. So for $5, you can have a pretty decent book. And that's it for FitCast Topics. So let's jump into the mailbag for this week. First off, hey, Kevin, love the show on the Insider Service. Anyways, I am looking for more material to continue my education in regards to fitness and nutrition. What have you guys picked up lately that has really benefited, that you have really benefited from in book form or DVD? Thanks, and I will hopefully see you guys at a seminar soon. And that's from Todd. So we'll start off with Keith. Keith, have you read anything lately that's really, or seen a DVD that's really, that you've really liked in the last couple? Damn it, we lost Keith again. Look at that. I swear, that's not me either. Well, let's start with Jimmy then.
Well, pause the show and get him back on, dude. We're not live.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to pause the show, but just keep talking, Jimmy, and I'll get Keith back.
Tony, go first.
Oh, close to me. Jen, you do it. No, actually, I got a DVD in the mail about 3 weeks ago called Never Enough. I want to say it's the crew, a lot of Diablo crew out in California. I forgot the other, the actual crew that is in the video, but pretty cool. They basically just go through their training. You just see a bunch of strong guys squatting and deadlifting, and you know, they get a lot of these top guys come here giving their tips, which I thought was kind of cool. I know I mentioned a couple weeks ago when we went to the Perform Better seminar, the Gray Cook's DVDs. What were the names of them, Jimmy, again?
I think it was
Secrets of the Shoulder
and Secrets of the Core, or Secrets of the Low Back?
Yeah, something like that, where he went about deadlifting and how important it was. So those two DVDs are fantastic, so I would definitely encourage those. I think Gray Cook is a brilliant guy, and I'm pissing myself that I never read any of this stuff beforehand. And as far as books, one of the better nutrition books I've read in the past few months is Alan Aragorn's book, Girth Control. I thought that was a really spectacular book, and you can buy that book through his website, alanaragorn.com. But I thought that was a pretty eye-opening book. You know, he's a pretty smart guy, but he backs up all his information with research and studies, which is always nice. So it isn't just him saying stuff out of nowhere, but he actually backs it up. But he has a pretty no-nonsense approach to nutrition, and I thought that was a very good book.
Keith, are you with us? Keith. I don't know, folks.
Yeah, he's dropped.
What is?
Are you guys there?
Oh, there he
is. Oh, there he is.
There he is.
Keith.
I don't know what's going on.
Do you know what we're talking about?
I couldn't even hear a thing.
Okay. Well, we had a listener question, an email that came in, and he was just asking about if there's any new books or DVDs that you've seen in the last couple of weeks or months that have really caught your attention that you really liked.
Actually, I got that. I finally, Jimmy and Tony were there with me. I finally got the DVD from the Perform Better Summit that we went to. Came in the mail. It was the Parisi DVD on speed training.
Yeah, I was
going
to say
that. Martin Rooney did it, and I thought it was fantastic. It was a really good video. But he just takes a little different perspective on strength training and how that integrates into actual running form and speed and things like that. But anything by Martin Rooney is excellent. I've seen a couple of his things, and he's just a different type of trainer, and he gives a little different perspective. So that was excellent. And I still have to break out the Gray Cook DVD. I started watching it and didn't get to finish it. I don't know if Tony or Jimmy got to actually watch that one. We all bought it at the same seminar, but so far that looked pretty good too.
Keith, do you know where to pick up that speed training DVD?
I got it at the seminar. I assume that you can get it right from performbetter.com.
Okay.
If you go there, just search under Parisi Speed School and or look under Martin Rooney, and it should be under there because we bought it right from the seminar, so I know they sell it online too.
All right, well, Jimmy, what do you got for us? I'll go last again.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
It sounded like somebody dropped. Well, I'm just going to kind of echo what Tony and Keith said about Gray Cook's back and shoulder DVD. I thought they were excellent, and Martin's Strength Training for Speed DVD, I thought that was excellent as well. I have to give a shout out to Scott Abel. His Cycle Diet DVD was very good. I just recently got that. Been reading a lot about Stevia, the Miracle Stevia. I know that's probably not what the guy's interested in. But he should actually go. Whoever asked the question, I'm sorry, I forgot his name. I think it was Todd. You know, can go back a couple episodes ago where we talked about. I think it was me and Keith talked about like our top five favorite books or whatever. So we have that. But in terms of recently, those four DVDs. Are where it's at. I actually like going with DVDs more because I find I can absorb the information better as opposed to just reading. It's just easier than reading out of a book. Let's say I don't read. Like, I still buy a lot of books, but those four DVDs are excellent.
All right, well, lately I was actually talking with Jimmy about this a couple weeks ago, but I picked up the new Encyclopedia of Modern Bodybuilding from Arnold Schwarzenegger and Bill Dobbins, I think it is. And I've been going through that, and again, it's what it is. It's an encyclopedia of knowledge in regards to bodybuilding. I think it's like 700 pages long. It's massive, and I've just been trying to flip through it and take notes on pages, and you know, I get through it a little bit at a time every night, and I'm picking up things here and there, and it's just got great photographs of hundreds of exercises. It's something that everyone should really have on their bookshelf, and it's $20 from Amazon. So there's really no reason why you shouldn't pick that up if you don't have it. And also, like I mentioned before, I've been going through the Anabolic Diet book, the ebook. And again, go to Staples, have them print it out for you and put it in a binder. It's much easier to read than looking at a computer screen. But
And on a side note, actually, if we're talking resources, this is a non-DVD, non-book resource, mm-hmm. but Precision Nutrition with Berardi, he emailed me and a bunch of us a couple weeks ago asking us if we would be interested in doing expert commentary on his exercise library, the videos. And I believe he said he was going to go live with it sometime in September. But, you know, I know Boyle's on there. I'm on there. I'm sure Jimmy is. I know Eric's probably going to be on there. But basically, it's just going to be, a bunch of, names in the field are going to be talking and giving commentary on a lot of the exercise videos that they have. And he's talking that it's probably going to be bigger than xrex.com.
It's huge.
I was actually quite impressed with the selection they have. They have literally hundreds of videos on there. And, like I said, we're going to have commentary on there, why we like it, why we dislike it, cues and keys. Stuff to look for while you're doing the movement. So from an exercise video standpoint, that's going to be a really great resource for a lot of people in probably a couple weeks.
Is that going to be free?
It's going to be
free.
It's going to be free. It's Precision Nutrition Forum. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I was on it the other day. I was putting my commentary on a couple exercises, so it looks pretty cool. And not to really jump off topic of continuing education resources, but if I could say something about the Arnold Schwarzenegger book real quick, Kev. If anybody out there, I'm looking for a picture for an article. It's of Arnold, he's flexing his bicep in the mirror, and there's also one of Arnold and I think Frank Zane and Ken Waller looking in the mirror posing. I need those pictures for an article, so when I can't find them and I'm looking hard, so if anybody can find those pictures or has them, just please email them to me, Jimmy at JimmySmithTraining.com. Thank you. Sorry to get off topic.
Before the show, we were actually really talking, and Jimmy wants a nice high-res version so he can blow it up and put it on the ceiling above his bed.
Yeah, just uncalled for.
I want nude photos of Kate Beckinsale, so if anyone has pictures of those, they can send them to my email.
Didn't we... Oh, never mind. We'll talk about that later. Next up, we have another question. I'm looking for ways to spice up my diet, and I'm keeping carbs very low. Do you have any ideas for no reason, no or less than 10 carbs per meal that you like? And I picked this question because it kind of fits into what I'm doing right now. So,
if why don't you go ahead, Kevin? Give it, what are you doing now?
Well, actually, my diet right now is consisting. I'm shooting for 2,850 calories because I'm doing my body weight times 15 in association with the anabolic diet. So right now, one of the major things I'm doing is meat, hamburger. That's what I've been going for. I got 85% lean hamburgers. I got those because I'm trying to get a few extra calories from fat instead of going with the normal 90% lean hamburgers that I tend to go with. That gives me an extra 40 calories or so total, or 20 calories per patty. It doesn't sound like a lot, but every little bit helps. Also, obviously, lots of chicken breasts. And see, I don't spice things up. Like, I have the hamburgers with, I think it's called one-carb ketchup by Heinz. Again, trying to keep it low-carb. And also, I have that no-carb, no-calorie barbecue sauce that I talked about in the show last week. And now that I've gotten into about a week of using it, it's starting to get old. It tastes kind of tastes like pancake syrup to me, which I don't know if that's a good thing or not, if you like that on your chicken. But I have those things. If you want to kind of go fancy, like I talked about again on the show in the past, just using Jell-O single cups, sugar-free Jell-O, and using like sugar-free, Cool Whip. And throwing a scoop full of that on top, that's a good way to stay sane during a low-carb diet. Also, obviously, eggs. Like, I'm just going crazy with eggs. I'm going through almost a dozen and a half eggs a day. So, that's it. I have some stuff from Jen that she wanted me to read, so I'll do that right now, too. What? At least nothing. She emailed some content to me instead of...
Excuse me, I've sent my article to you the past like 4 weeks when no one else has, so don't get on me, buddy.
Okay, we're really going to have articles on the site this week, too. Again, I forgot to organize it all on Sunday, but I'll do it tonight. But she wrote low-carb tortilla wraps with chicken and cheese, chicken baked with avocado and cheese melted with a side of broccoli, any meat with veggies. She also says sugar-free Jell-O with protein pudding and 1 tablespoon or so of heavy cream. Cottage cheese with Italian soda syrup, sugar-free raspberry flavor. I think that's the Da Vinci stuff we talked about last week or 2 weeks ago. And with 1/4 cup raspberry or blueberries on it. 1 Ezekiel tortilla with meat and mozzarella cheese melted on it. Low-carb tortilla with 1 tablespoon of peanut butter and sugar-free jam rolled up. She puts in quotes, peanut butter and J roll-ups. And she also says marinated fish, salmon, tilapia, halibut, orange roughy, spiced with huge spinach salad. I don't know if you spice it with a spinach salad, but... I think she means like a side, but I don't know. Do you guys have like any low carb marinade ideas that I can use and this guy can use to just spice up the low carb lifestyle? Or any ideas?
I use a Grillmaster's thing.
What's that?
I forget the name. Grillmaster's like Masterpiece. It's like seasoning salt that has no calories. And it's just sodium. I mean, if you're on a sodium kick, whatever, but you really shouldn't be that concerned about it.
That's what I use, a lot of seasoning. Sea salt, yeah. And a lot of stuff like that.
How about you, Tony?
If you're picky with looking at labels, I know there's a few marinades you can buy at the grocery store that are less than 2 carbs per serving. So I tend to go with some. Sometimes you'll find like a mesquite or a southwestern marinade that's low carb. I just be careful. You got to look at the labels, because even if the label says it's, you know, whatever, you got to look at the actual nutrition information on the back. So you're looking at like 2 grams or less per serving. So if you're lucky, you can buy some loaves, which I do quite a bit of. So if I'm grilling a lot of chicken at once, the marinades definitely are save. Make you not want to like shoot your head off by eating chicken all week. It makes it a lot easier. But actually, I have a question for Jimmy and Keith, and you as well, Kevin. When you're talking low carb, do you guys what's your take on the fiber? I mean, because we all say we're advocating vegetables and fruit and the fiber in there, but do you guys count the fiber or don't count the fiber as far as the total gram total of carbs?
Well, I'll just butt in quickly for the anabolic diet. What I'm doing, it's net carbs. So mm-hmm. It's 30 net carbs, so obviously fiber doesn't count. But I found that I have to keep my vegetable intake pretty low, so I'm using Greens Plus to supplement some of those in to make sure I'm getting all the great things that we can get from vegetables and fruits.
Yeah, because, I mean, me personally, like, I have no problem with people eating all, like, the broccoli and spinach that they want. Like,
yeah.
That really doesn't bother me. But I know there's some people out there, and I wasn't sure if Jimmy or Keith or these guys that will tell people to limit their fiber intake from vegetables. So I was just curious what their thoughts were on that.
Keith. Me personally, I don't count.
Okay. How about
Keith,
you? Man?
We lost Keith. I for the majority of people, no. Like, I don't count. I don't count fiber. It's you know. It is what it is. If you're getting it through your fruits and vegetables, it's fine. I mean, there can be times where you would want to count fiber, but initially, no. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, well, I was just curious. So
I'd like to know from this guy who wrote in. Like, he's trying to keep 10 carbs per meal. Like, why? Like, what's the deal?
I was actually wondering that too when I read the question. I was like, why is he concerned with it? But
I added that part.
Oh, you added that part, so you totally lied about a reader question. Nice.
No, that's seriously, that's a question from a listener, but he just asked for low-carb food ideas.
Oh,
I actually have another idea that I've been using lately. I eat protein pancakes. I've been using protein powder. I'll use 2 or 3 scoops, and I'll add a whole egg and an egg white, and I add water till it's a pancake batter, and make it like I would normal pancakes, and it tastes fantastic. So if I'm using, like, strawberry protein powder... just like strawberry pancakes, tastes really good.
How's chocolate?
Chocolate? I haven't done the chocolate yet, but I'm assuming if you get a brand that doesn't taste like chalk, that it would taste pretty good.
A fantastic brand is from Black Star Labs. They're Tyson Pro.
Yeah.
It's a staple, man. I love that stuff.
I would assume it would taste fine. Like, I know actually my girlfriend's the one that made them. So I came home from work one night and she had these protein pancakes made. And I was like, oh my god, these are good. But that's all it was. It's just the protein powder, add a couple eggs, put some water and make it into a batter, and there you go.
Keith can still hear us.
Guys,
I want to try to call
you guys
back.
Hear me?
There he is.
Yeah, we got you.
Can you hear me now? I don't know what's going on, but I forget what I was going to say. You're talking
fiber
about
intake.
The fiber intake. I personally don't count if it's vegetables. I don't count the carbs on vegetables whatsoever, because I'm always trying to encourage my people to eat as many vegetables as they want. And I find that most of them psychologically, I have a couple of clients right now that if they did count it, they would stop eating vegetables because they would think it would get too high and it got messy. So I just make the rule of thumb that, you know, vegetables for the most part, I don't even count. As long as they're not mixing it with a whole bunch of different stuff like tons of olive oil or dressing or things like that, I don't even worry about that. And then, you know, they're getting their fiber and most vegetables are dense enough where it's not really going to affect them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Did you guys see... never mind. Go finish what you were saying. I'll bring that up later.
Go ahead, Jimmy. I think
No, I was just going to say, totally off topic, did you guys see how the Little League World Series ended?
Yeah,
Georgia hit a walk-off. Hit a walk-off in the bottom of the 8th. That's all I wanted to say.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, let's move on to our... a roundtable discussion. There was actually some stories about obesity in the news, which I thought were pretty interesting. But we won't talk about that. All right. because we didn't prep for it. Anyways, our roundtable discussion going on with the series that Jimmy Smith thought up, talking about rep and set schemes for various different goals that you might have in the weight room. So for this week, we're going to be talking about hypertrophy. So Jimmy, do you want to start it off again and take the floor?
No, I'm going to let Tony go first.
I'm letting Keith go first.
Jesus. We're just talking about set and rep scheme for hypertrophy, basically. And
yeah,
you going to listen to the show, man?
Let's put it this way. How if a client came to you and you were setting up a program that you want to focus on hypertrophy, how would you set up that workout? Again, talking about amount of sets and reps, and also if you'd set it up with supersets, things like that. Just trying to give the audience just like a basic breakdown.
Well, for me, a lot of it depends on the experience.
We lost.
Oh man, he's gone again. So I'll kick in. Yeah, I would totally agree with what he said with experience. I know if I'm teaching a lot of the new athletes that were coming at our new facility, like if I'm teaching them how to squat or deadlift or anything like that, I'm going to keep it in the six to eight rep range just from a teaching perspective, because if I'm teaching them that and they're doing 12, 15 plus reps, it's just going to get ugly. So, but, you know, we're going to be doing their strength training with that. But obviously, most of these kids just need to eat. But, you know, we're going to keep it in the 8 to 12 rep range. It's nothing revolutionary or anything like that. I mean, we're certainly not going to do anything like German volume training where they're going to be doing 10 sets of 10 of everything. But, you know, certainly getting their reps in a higher rep range. I rarely ever go above 12 reps with anything. I mean, if we're talking fat loss, I might go over 12. But from hypertrophy, I rarely will ever go over 12. And then I fluctuate training each week. So, you know, there's some weeks they might be doing 5 sets of 12 or something, 8 sets of 8. But, I mean, that's rare. But, I mean, they have to be up in there in the 8 to 12 range for hypertrophy, in my opinion.
Keith, we have you back. Yeah.
Okay, I don't know what's going on, Kev. But
you sound like... you're on wireless, aren't you?
No, I'm not. Not anymore. I'm on a regular computer now.
Oh, you sound like a shitty robot from Rocky III.
Is this better?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, I'm switching up some of my preferences. Anyway, what I was... And I can still hear you guys when I go off, so I can still pay attention to the show, but I think what, you know, I was trying to say about experience, you know, when I heard what Tony said and... agree. If it's somebody that's been into it for a while and has a background, and you know, I'm going to keep between 8 and 12, and I always want to work strength as much as possible, so I'm going to keep the reps around 8 in the beginning and try to, and you know, even if it's around 2 or 3 sets of 8, as long as they're having good solid sets, and you know, what I like to do is mix it up. Maybe one day a week I'll go 8, maybe another day a week I'll go up to 12. Like Tony said, I'll never go above 12 for hypertrophy. If it is fat loss, I might go a little bit, but we're just talking hypertrophy here. So I'll stay between the 8 and 12 rep, 2 to 3 sets. And I do like to superset or do some compound sets, too, with certain people, certain body parts. I know Jimmy has talked about this in his blog before about, you know, nailing different body parts, you know, with different compound sets and things like that. I do like to throw that into the mix depending on the body part and how advanced the person is.
Hey, Keith, what's that blog?
Jimmy Smith trainingblogspot.com. Is that it?
You're the man. You are the man.
I know.
Well, before Jimmy proclaims the greatness of hypertrophy, I have a couple questions. First off, how much do you guys think about tempo when it comes to hypertrophy workouts? Do you focus a lot on it, or do you just not really focus on it at all?
I rarely, if ever, focus on it. What I'll usually tell people is control the eccentric and explode up. Rarely am I going to tell them, okay, I want you to count 4 seconds down, 2 seconds up, pause for 3. It's just too much to think about. I mean, if you're teaching someone to deadlift or squat, I mean, they got enough on their mind, you know, teach them that to do that right, the motor control involved with that, and to have them count numbers in between that, it's just, to me, it's a waste of time.
Agree.
Okay, and also... are you in the mindset that you have to get stronger in order to get bigger? Does that make sense when you say that?
Are you talking to me or Tony?
I'm talking to anyone.
I would agree with that to a sense. I mean, yeah. I mean, certainly the more weight you're going to be pulling or squatting or pushing, you know, the potential growth is going to be greater. So, I mean, I'm along with Keith. Like, I'm always going to stress getting stronger. Like, always. Like, if anything, I think if people are focusing on getting stronger, everything else will fall into place after that.
Yeah, and with the people I train, and I've seen significant improvements in their physique just by focusing on strength training without even trying to do hypertrophy training, which, you know, tells me volume. So, and I already knew that anyway, but like Tony said, I mean, you're always going to try to get the guy as strong as you can, or the girl as strong as you can, because they're going to be able to lift more weight and they're going to be able to do more. And also, I like to look at it from a joint perspective. If they're stronger, their joints are stronger, they're going to be able to do more and move more weight safely and do different movements safely. And you can throw in some Olympic lifts. You can really vary their training. And the more varied their training gets, to me, the more significant changes they're going to see in their body.
Jimmy, do you have anything you want to spout?
Spout? Yeah, well, real quick, going back to what we initially started talking about, like with the variables in terms of like rep and set schemes, there are times that I do go over 12. It's for specific body parts. When you look at like the twitch makeup of the body part, some of them just, and in my experience, certain body parts do benefit more from occasional higher rep in terms of the 12 to 15 rep ranges.
And what would they be, Jimmy? Like, what?
Well, so you would look at like your lats benefit. I lost my train of thought. Your lats benefit from going a little higher with the rep ranges. Your medial delt benefits going a little higher with the rep ranges. Then you look at certain muscles, you know, like your hamstrings or your biceps and triceps that are going to benefit from going lower with the rep ranges. So that's just from my experience in of itself, especially the medial delt and the lats actually benefit in terms of growing, in terms of hypertrophy from going. I think, I don't know, this is going to sound crazy, but I saw some study that talked about the, I don't know, like the superior part of the lat was more slow twitch. I don't know. I don't get into it that deep as some other people do, but in my experience, I have found the lats and the medial delt, so for your shoulder width, do benefit from going a little higher with the rep schemes. In terms of sets, some of them, primarily what I'll do when I set up a workout is the first two exercises, if I'm supersetting, will be anywhere from 4 to 8 sets with the lower the rep, because like what Keith and Tony were talking about, a lot of times my intent is to get the person stronger, and I think Keith said it, where a lot of times just focusing on getting the person stronger, like their hypertrophy comes with that. There are times when I'm not solely concerned about that, because if it's a movement, I don't want to come off too bodybuilding-esque with this. But if someone is performing a squat, and they have muscular inhibition someplace, or they can't feel for, say, like their hamstrings firing, there will be a time where they'll go higher rep and I won't be so concerned about strength. I think we have to focus on the quality of the workout instead of the quantity of the workout, especially when we're training for hypertrophy. You know, in terms of tempo, there are times I do control that. Like Tony said, I'm not going to tell somebody who's deadlifting. I never, never, never put a tempo on a deadlift unless it's a stiff leg deadlift. I just think it's dumb putting a tempo on a deadlift. I'd rather focus on someone there on just moving heavy weight. I do tempo a squat at times. I will tempo when we just lost somebody. I will tempo when the person's going down in the squat. Tempo originally came because coaches had to communicate with each other before the internet. You know, if I was training someone and I sent them to Tony, I had to say, well, he can move, you know, 225 pounds on a squat with a 301 tempo. So there are times I will do that. I found for certain body parts, tempo training is a little more beneficial, especially when we're doing joint isolation stuff. I wouldn't necessarily tempo like on a chest press. I'll tempo on a chin-up, but just from my experience, I wouldn't do it on a chest press, especially because a lot of people are shoulder and tricep benchers anyway. But getting back to getting somebody strong, like you're not going to see bigger tricep gains than if someone's doing like a floor tricep extension or a floor barbell press. You know, you're going to get someone big just doing that. So that's kind of the quick and dirty what I would do a little bit with hypertrophy. I don't know if you want to go deeper, Kev, with what I said. Does anybody want to get on what I said?
Hey, Jimmy, can you hear me, guys?
Yeah.
All right, because I just got dropped again. But if wouldn't you agree, and I don't think you're disagreeing with what anybody said, but wouldn't you agree that it's, you know, once you get in that hypertrophy mode and you want to start dealing with higher rep schemes and things like that, wouldn't you agree that your client or your athlete, whoever you're working with, needs to have a really good level of strength beforehand, and then you can play with that variable a little more. What I'm trying to say is, if you have a beginner, you know, I'm going to focus on strength like crazy until they have a good baseline throughout their whole body. Then you can play with a hypertrophy model a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, just the strength model is going to get the person bigger. And I think once you can do that, then you can play with the other variables more so. But you have to have that strength in place.
I agree with that. Basically, if I'm working with a beginner, I would actually have them with more hypertrophy schemes with a 12 to 15 rep range. Because
sure.
if we're talking about a beginner straight out of the box, that's going to be enough to increase, you know, their strength.
Sure.
If you're talking, I forgot. Come back to me.
But I'm not even talking about beginner out of the box. I mean, beginner could be with a lift. Somebody never done a deadlift before, never done a proper squat before, and you know, once you teach them that and you gain that strength base, not that you're going to try to get hypertrophy necessary from deadlifts, but once you have that strength base, and then you can play with those rep schemes a little bit more. And play with the whole system a little bit more once you have that base level of strength throughout the whole body.
Well, I agree. Like if you've never deadlifted before and I'm working with you, I'm going to have you go slightly higher, not too high, not with the 12 to 15 rep ranges, because like I think it's the dumbest thing in the world to see somebody doing like front squats with reps of 15. It's way too much of a motor control issue there. So like what I will say is that I do keep the strength stimulus in and the neural training stimulus in because. Physique people, bodybuilders, whatever you want to call them, people with great hypertrophy generally are just too weak for their cross-sectional area. You know, they have the hypertrophy, they have the size, but they're just not strong enough. So I would keep the strength protocols, whatever you want to call it, in for a beginner and someone in general. Like if you're having a chest and back day, like I said, you know, you may be going incline press to a chin-up, and you know, you're doing 4 to 6 reps because you're going to grow with that, you know, provided everything's in line. So I'll agree with what you're saying that. You need to have that strength base in there. A lot of times, though, I do think some coaches go off too much on saying that strength is too much in the picture. I think the problem with a lot of hypertrophy training today is that a lot of people are talking about them were pure strength coaches that weren't necessarily training for hypertrophy, that just use the model that if you get stronger, you'll grow, and they're 1,000% correct on that. But there are some differences. You know, there are times where I hate to say it, but you have to feel the muscle working to grow and to get to optimal hypertrophy for. Because I know myself, like with my lats, if I'm doing chins or I'm doing even, you know, pull downs, supine pull downs, I feel it all in my bicep. Like my bicep is killing me. My forearms are killing me. I feel zero with my lat. But if I, you know, if I pull with certain fingers and I go a little lighter and try to feel the muscle and do some, you know, quote unquote pump techniques, I'm feeling my lats. My lats are growing. So I kind of think. That's the divide right there in terms of hypertrophy.
All right, well, I want to ask you guys one more thing. When someone comes to you and they have a weakness, say, like, I have a friend that is always training his calves because he's trying to make his calves bigger. Luckily, I overuse my calves, so I don't have that problem. But what do you guys do when someone comes to you and they say, okay, I know I want to get bigger, but I look improportional. I need to get my arms bigger. I need to focus on, I mean, it seems like a lot of people on the internet talk about their calves or they talk about their biceps. So what do you do? I'll start with Keith. And what do you do when someone comes to you with a problem like that? Do you tend to hit it more often, or how do you focus on that?
Well, I think there's a balance between doing what you know.
Okay, never mind. Jimmy.
You're talking about, like, if someone... Go ahead, Keith.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I must be blinking in and out, but what I was saying...
Boinking.
Is that...
Okay. Keep going, Keith.
I think Keith boinked.
Okay, yep, he's definitely finished.
He's definitely boinking.
All right, Jimmy, continue, please.
So now you're talking about if someone comes and says they want to develop a special body part?
Yeah, don't you have guys come to you and say, dude, like, I got to work on my chest, or I got to work on my triceps. Like, do you tend to allow them to put more attention towards those muscles, or you just put together a program and just plan on it all shaping and together and coming together?
Well, I think first you have to, it's a very individual process. Like, if I have, you know, a 20-year-old kid come to me and says no muscle mass, well, you know what? He's going to get those triceps through heavy press, and he's going to get those biceps through heavy chin-ups.
Well, I mean, say if the person is
moderately advanced.
Yeah, and they do have some size to them, and they just cannot put size on certain muscles.
Okay, well, first thing you're going to have to do is you have to specialize in that muscle. So basically what that means is that you'd have to I don't know, Keith is texting me right now trying to get back on.
Oh,
I can't hear this. Basically, well, damn, Keith, stop. Yeah, he says it's totally dropped.
Don't worry, keep going.
Okay, so basically what I would do with the person, if they had moderate muscle mass, if they came to me, I'd first look at their training. You know, what have they been doing? A lot of it's in the rep schemes, a lot of it's in the exercises. You know, again, if someone has a bicep issue, well, you know what? How strong are they in chin-ups? What's their forearm hypertrophy like? You know, they go hand in hand. Charles Poliquin has a saying that if someone was required to do a set of calf raises for every set of bicep curls they did, people wouldn't have calf problems, and he's right about that. Calves are muscles, people just don't work, and we need to get it out there right now that people want biceps, people want arms, and they want chest. So generally, people would be getting more, you know, compound-based movements initially in their program. They would go a chin-up, and then I'd work on, like, their forearm for someone for biceps, just for example. You also have to look at what's their injury history. You know, if people have some type of nerve compression or something like that, they may not get their biceps may be limited because of that. You know, you see people with ankle injuries that have calf issues, you know, because they'll have issues with their peroneal nerve or things like that. So you have to take that into account as well. But, you know, initially if someone has a moderate muscle mass, they're going to look at their rep set schemes and take it from there.
All right, before we even continue, I want to continue this discussion, but I totally forgot to mention our sponsors. So first off, TurbulenceTraining.com, boosts muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. Don't forget to check out the new monthly workout at TTMembers.com if you are a member there, and if you aren't, might as well sign up. Next up, Blackstar Labs, BlackstarLabs.com. Again, we mentioned Casein Pro earlier in the show. I love their chocolate Casein Pro protein. It's a great alternative, especially if you want to switch it up and if you've been having another brand of protein for a while. Make sure to check out the Casein Pro there. It's actually pretty cheap for a 2-pound tub. I think it's $20. And you can always use the code FIT10, that's FIT10. Throw that in the comments at checkout, and you will save 10% on your order. So make sure to check that out. And again, it's Casein Pro. Just go to blackstarlabs.com, and it's pretty much right there. Are you guys all right?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we just hear someone blowing.
Oh.
All right.
No, I didn't mean it like that. My headset fell off. That's why I said, whoa.
Okay. Next up is RobertsonTrainingSystems.com, high-octane corrective performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. I remember that without even reading it off a sheet. And that's Mike Robertson's website where you can pick up things like Inside Out. You can pick up Bulletproof Knees. You can pick up the DVD series that I forgot, Building the Efficient Athlete. A great DVD series where you can see Jimmy Smith's back of his head, and then you can make a comparison with an old TV star and make fun of Jimmy next week. Feel free to send me those emails.
That's clearly the guy from Night Court, by the way. I did dress up as him on Halloween.
Night Court?
Yeah, you don't know the show Night Court? Bull, the security guard?
Oh, okay, yeah. Actually, I do kind of remember that show, but you got to keep in mind you're like 5 years older than me. So... anyways, that's it for the sponsors. Back into the roundtable. Keith, is there anything...
Before you get back in the roundtable, I didn't mean to cut Keith off. To Todd, who asked about continuing education, before he buys anything, those products are great. He should buy Building the Efficient Athlete just because it has everything in there. But go ahead, Keith.
And it helps if you're taking physiology. Yeah.
Okay, I'm not sure if you can hear me half the time or not.
I
can hear you. Okay. What are we talking about? No, because I'm all over the place trying to get hooked back up, so just remind me what you guys are talking about.
We're talking about training weaknesses.
Yeah, and that's where I got cut off. No, I mean, I heard what Jimmy said. I didn't hear any of the other stuff. And what I was saying is that there's got to be a balance between giving your client what they want and doing what's right at the same time. So, because you know, I have clients all the time that say, I just want to get huge calves or I want to get huge forearms. And, you know, you got to make sure you're balancing them out at the same time, too. But like Jimmy said, I mean, you got to look at their program. You got to look at their past, what they've been doing. You know, a lot of clients think they're doing the right thing and they're not. So, you know, just like we talked about sets, reps, things like that, I like to sneak things in. And what I mean by sneak is I'll do exercises with them and half the time they don't even know that I'm doing it with, you know, like, you know, not just necessarily calf raises. I may do some jump training with some of my younger clients and that I know is going to stimulate certain muscle groups or things like that. So I just like to look at the big picture and kind of make sure that it's not going to affect them in a negative way, first of all. Because I have clients right now that all they want to do is get bigger biceps when they don't even have a base level of strength yet to support that. So we have to look at the big picture and make sure they're safe and that you're doing the rest of it too. And then, like Jimmy said, you can start to look at the rest of their program and their sets and rep schemes and things like that. And then the last thing, and I don't know if you guys said this when I was kind of turned off here, is you got to look at their rest and nutrition. And a lot of these people are coming in and expecting it all to get done in the gym, and then you're finding out they're not doing it at home. You know, I have teenagers that come in that get 4 hours of sleep, and they eat like shit. And, you know, you wonder why they're not making gains. So you got to look at the whole picture that way.
Good deal. Tony, is there anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I was actually going to mention the nutrition aspect before Keith said it. But certainly I know back a few years ago I wanted to bring up my legs, and I made sure that the days that I trained my legs is when I got the most of my calories in. You certainly have to you can't build a solid body without providing the raw nutrients to grow that the muscle tissue in the first place. But I can't say anything that Jimmy and Keith haven't already said. You know, look at your programming. Certainly, that you know, there are times where you need to put in some direct calf work or direct calf work. You know, a lot of us will say, do the compound movements, do the compound movements, do the compound movements. But certainly, you know, if you know, like calves, there's some people say you squat to get big calves. But certainly, you know, your quads are going to over-dominate the calves, or certain muscle groups are going to be stronger than others, and the calves aren't even going to get hit. So, like I said, there's a time and place to do the direct stuff, but certainly, you know, Jimmy and Keith hit the nail on the head. So,
very good. Is there anything you guys wanted to throw in before? You know what? This is a good time to bring in that. If you want to not listen to what we're going to talk about, you can feel free to turn off the podcast now. But Jimmy, you saw Superbad, right?
Oh, God, dude, that movie was the funniest movie. It was the best high school movie since the first American Pie. The whole
I saw it while I was in Vegas.
Oh, dude, good discussion.
The whole McLovin-Cop relationship is absolutely hilarious. I loved it. I would go see it again. And I probably will.
I thought Knocked Up was funnier still.
No, Knocked Up sucked.
Oh, no. Not
I thought so.
Knocked Up was good, but this
the
was
guy
just...
from Knocked Up, the lead from Knocked Up, who played one of the cops in this one, was absolutely hysterical in this.
Wait, Tony.
Yeah.
Why were you watching a movie in Vegas?
Seriously. Well, my girlfriend... Well, the reason why we went was because she was... A friend of hers was getting married, and they had the bachelorette party. So they went and saw Thunder from Down Under, which I was not going to go to that.
The hell
and,
was that?
It's the guys from Australia. It's like the Chippendales from Australia. And then, So while she did that, I went to the movie at like 6:30 at night. It's hot there, man. It's like you need AC.
Air conditioning, man.
There's air conditioning in the casinos.
Well, speaking of which, my girlfriend won $800 on the slot machine.
Holy shit.
I dropped 80. But yeah, she hit $800 jackpot on the slot machine, which was kind of sweet. So dinner was on her the last three nights.
The casinos have air, and so do the strip clubs. I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Keeping those nipples nice and hard, right? Okay, that's probably... Hopefully most of the people turned off the show by now, but...
Because that would have turned them off, yeah.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to talk about
you
that.
You dirty boy, Kevin.
Most of the people that listen to our show are of age, so they should be able to handle the content. But yeah, is there anything else you guys wanted to talk about before we wrap this up?
Oh, I probably am not going to be on the show next week because I'm moving, so...
Okay, I'm going to make sure to give you a huge shout-out next week and cry
right.
A little bit.
Where are you moving to?
To Framingham, which is...
Moving by yourself, right? You and your girlfriend moving in
together?
Yeah,
we're moving in together.
That's big.
We're taking the next step.
You're gonna miss Eric, dude.
And then Eric's moving about 2 miles down the road, so we're not gonna. We're still, but it's gonna be fun. Like my girlfriend and I are looking forward to it. So.
Shit.
But yeah, that's gonna take up most of the weekend next weekend, so I'm not gonna be on.
Okay. Well, for everyone else out there, if you do have any questions about the anabolic diet, Jen will be back on the show next week, and we're also recording an insider interview about the anabolic diet with Jen that will be up on the next week or so on the FitGas Insider. And for the next couple weeks for my articles, I'll just be writing about that and also post my workout if people are interested, because you have to do... I was talking to Jim, we had to set up somewhat of a depletion style workout to knock out all that glycogen, so that should be fun. Alright guys, well let's wrap this up. So for episode number 63, I'm Kevin Larrabee.
I'm Tony Gentilcore.
I'm Keith Scott.
I'm Jimmy Smith.
And Jimmy loves the sound of his own voice.
No, Keith just sent me a funny text message that what you really think glycogen is, but we won't get into it.
You want to get into it?
No, we won't get into it. We would get rated R on the show from now on.
Okay. All right, everyone. Thanks again. We lost Keith, and I think that's fitting. So we'll see everyone next week. Take care, everyone.